I know that some of you do not cry, or at least hardly ever cry. I know this because you've told me. I also know that some of you, like for me, tears flow easily and often. For those of you not as familiar, let me describe some of the various kinds of tears. There is the soft kind of tear that just barely wets your eyes at the suggestion of something touching, a kind note or a sweet word from a friend. There are the tears of release during times of stress or anxiety, or even anger. These tears come from a buildup of repressed emotion that can do nothing more than spill over, stinging as they exit. There are tears of joy, of course, often mixed with laughter at some great news or the realization of something long awaited. These are the tears that I wish for all of you. What I hope you have never experienced are the kind of tears I imagine Mary experienced the night her beloved Savior died on the cross. The tears that continued to come in waves throughout the following day and into the long night outside his tomb. These are the tears of utter desperation and despair. They begin as weeping, as you wrestle with the disbelief that what just happened really happened. Then they intensify until your body shakes. Your eyelids clench together tightly, trying to regain some control. You try to steady your breathing, but the waves of tears come on stronger and stronger. That's when the moaning begins. It's a sound you never imagined could have come from your own body. It surprises you at first, but it cannot be suppressed. The waves of tears and moans build until you begin to heave. You may even gag as you fall to your knees, expending the last amount of bodily energy you have left. At that point, the only tears you have left fall gently once more. You've exhausted yourself completely until you're back, once again, to weeping. I believe this is the state that Mary was in when a man approached her and said, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She doesn't even look up at him. She doesn't have the strength. She can barely speak after running back into town early that morning to let the others know of the empty tomb. An unforgivable insult added to unbearable injury. But she manages to get just enough words out through her tear-stained lips. "They've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." At this, her shoulders sink, and another single tear escapes down her cheek. She barely lifts her eyes to gaze upon this intruder who disturbs her grief with dumb questions. "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" She figures he must be the gardener. She can barely see his face through the salty glaze over her eyes. She's not in the mood for polite conversation, so she gets straight to the point. "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." In other words, stop wasting my time. "Mary." That's all it took. Instantly, everything that had happened since Thursday was erased from her mind. Her limp and weary limbs filled with adrenaline. Energy surged through her all at once as her eyes instantly cleared and locked onto his. "Rabboni." She lunges toward him, desperate to take hold of him, to make sure he's real, to keep him with her just a moment longer, to feel the comforting presence of his tangible presence once more. But his presence does not belong to her. Jesus has a job for her, And in his words, everything has changed. Those who have followed him are no longer mere disciples, mere students, and Mary is no longer to be quietly in the background of the events that play out around her. She is the first apostle, the first one charged to speak the good news of Jesus' resurrection. He is alive, yet not ascended. She must go, not to disciples, but to the very brethren of Christ himself. Can you sense the change in the atmosphere? We who have wept and labored and followed and deserted and denied and betrayed, we are brothers and sisters now. We are joint heirs in this new world where death is not the final answer. No matter how hopeless things may seem, no matter what the future holds, no matter how desperate the night becomes, hope has been resurrected from the dust and the ash. The light of the world has and is and will continue to push back the evils of this world until all things are made new. This is not the promise of some distant Armageddon. This is not some lyrical, symbolic, wishful thinking. Jesus is alive. We want desperately to reach out and grasp him. We want to gaze into his eyes to see the flecks of color explode from his pupils. We want to see and believe as did the one whom Jesus loved. We want to put our fingers in the wounds and kiss the hem of his robe. In the meantime, we see his gaze in the faces of our neighbors, all of them. We embrace him as we do a friend. We hold his hands at the bedside of a hospital patient. We, like Mary, have a job to do. She has seen the risen Lord in the flesh, and she has a message for us. We are no longer followers, but brothers and sisters. If there are any tears left in our eyes, they are met with singing and mingled with laughter. They bubble up and pour out willingly now. There is no holding them back. They are spirit-filled. Christ is alive. Let the tears of joy flow freely through this and every age till earth and sky and ocean ring with joy, with justice, love, and praise. May it be so. Amen and amen.